I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound His word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Isn't the Lord good? What a great reminder this morning of His grace. So my wife and I have been at Northmar for about a year and a half, and just recently we were able to purchase a home. Praise the Lord. And for those of you who don't already know or haven't seen my wife in the last 8.5 months, she is very pregnant. She's due in about a couple of weeks. So if I have to run in the middle of the message, it's either because she's going into labor or she has a really bad craving and I have to help her out or something. So because of that, when we were looking into buying a new home, it was very important for us to find something that wasn't necessarily new, but didn't need a whole lot of work or attention, because in a few weeks, a massive amount of our attention was going to be demanded elsewhere. So praise the Lord, the home that we bought didn't need a lot of repairs, didn't need a lot of attention, and it's been a blessing, which is why I was surprised the other day when I went to go shut one of the hallway doors. It's a door that we don't normally use, and I needed to shut it for something, and as I'm trying to close it, it won't close all the way. And I just kind of keep, give it a little bit of Cuban power, and I just keep going, and it's not closing. And so I start to study it, what's going on here, and I realize that the door was just a little too big for the frame. It was just slight. It was very small. And the only way you would notice it is if you tried to close the door all the way. And now, I'm going to tell you what that has to do with our message this morning a little later. But for now, let's jump into our passage. We're going to be in Luke 22, verses 1 through 6. So if you open there, we'll have it on the screen as well. It says, "Now the festival of unleavened bread called the Passover was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him the money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present." Now, Judas's story in life have to be the saddest story in history to me. His decisions, his entire life, everything he did confuses me, it angers me, and it breaks my heart. The question that goes through my heart, through my mind, and that we'll be addressing today is that how can someone who walked with Jesus for 3 years, every single day, become so corrupted to betray Jesus? I don't get it. All of us here who have encountered Jesus, who have encountered the presence of the Holy Spirit, we know that it's life-changing, amen? And so when you go through that, how can you become so corrupted? When you spend every single day with Jesus, how could you give him up? How could you betray him? Let's look at verse 3 where it says, "Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12." Now, what scripture means here is that Satan influenced Judas's life. We see this in another part of scripture as well, in Acts chapter 5, verse 3. It talks about Ananias. It says, "Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money that you received for the land?" Isn't it interesting that both of those are about money? There's a lesson there. There's a warning for us. If Judas was walking with Jesus, How could Satan influence him? Now, it saddens me to say this, but the truth is that there are people who claim to be Christians who all the time are really just walking under the influence of Satan. If we look closely at Judas's life, we will see that he allowed something very small but impactful to live freely in his life. And through this very little thing, we have our first fill in the blank, Judas allowed Satan to gain influence in his life. So what is this little but impactful thing? It's sin. In John 12:6, it says, "He, Judas, did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. A keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it." Judas allowed sin, he allowed greed, he allowed pride to live in his life unchecked. He allowed it to go freely in his heart. See, when you allow sin to go unchecked, it becomes like that door in my house. It's just a little wedge, just a little bit, but it becomes something that you can't close the door to. And what happens is it allows this little hole for Satan to gain influence in your life. And guess what? That's all he needs. That's all he needs. Just a wedge. Sin creates a tiny little wedge in the door of your heart. It slowly gets too big before you even realize it. You can't shut it. Unless you're looking for it, you're not going to notice it. But nonetheless, the enemy still gains control. He still gains influence. See, Judas didn't start with betrayal and murder. He started with taking a little bit off the top. Not a lot. Just some. I mean, it's Jesus and his disciples. It's not like they cared about money anyways, right? They weren't going to notice. Just a little. But in this passage, Scripture is challenging us to look at our lives and ask ourselves, what am I allowing to live freely in my heart? What is going unchecked? And what might I be doing that is opening the door to Satan's influence? So let's ask ourselves this question. What kind of things can be door jammers in our lives? Well, it's simple. It's anything that promotes sin in your life. Anything that causes you to look away from Jesus and look to sin. It can be as serious as a relationship with someone of the opposite sex that's not your spouse. It can be as small, as insignificant as a TV show. Can I put out there that not everything on TV is wholesome and great? Can I go further and say that almost everything that the media puts out there is laced and poisoned with sin? When you get into a show where the plot is written in such a way that you begin to root for them to leave their wife, or you begin to root for them to commit adultery, or you begin rooting for them to pursue homosexual feelings, and then not only are you watching people make sinful choices and allowing that into your mind, allowing it into your heart, allowing it into your family, but then when they actually commit the sin, you're excited for them. Yes, finally. They pursued their heart. Yeah. That's a wedge. That's just a little thing that begins to get in the way of your door closing. That's where the enemy starts whispering in your ear, maybe you should leave your wife. Maybe that thing isn't such a big deal. Maybe it's just a weird rule. It's not that big a deal. It doesn't mean that much to Jesus. Here's the thing. This is our second fill in the blank. Sin always leads to death. Romans 6:23 says it, we all know it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is through Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin always leads to death unless it is covered by the grace of God. Not just in an eternal perspective, but in our current lives. See, look at Judas. His life was completely overwrought with guilt, and he ended up committing suicide. You look at Ananias' life. In an instant, bam, dead. See, sin always leads to death, but it also has consequences today. Has consequences right now, even if it's covered eternally. See, here's the thing that always gets me about Judas. Jesus gave him opportunity after opportunity every single day to be convicted of the sin in his heart. In this passage that we're reading, Jesus gives him the seat to his left, which is the seat of honor. Out of all of his disciples, he honors Judas and has him sit the place of honor. Still nothing. See, sin needs to be trimmed out of our lives. In this life, we'll never be free of sin, right? That's our hope of glory, amen? But the difference is between sinning and living in sin. We're all guilty of sin. I posted last night that when you preach, you're convicted for about 2 weeks before you actually ever preach it to someone else. So I'm guilty of sin. Very aware of how sinful I am this week. But the difference is in living in sin versus stumbling over a sin. The difference is when we stumble in sin as opposed to living a life that is continually repeating a sin, being controlled by it, unable to get free of it. Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We have died to sin. How can we live it in any longer?" See, sanctification is the process where God fills us with himself. And as he fills us, we become more like him. Can I just say this? Jesus doesn't want a roommate. When you open the door to sin and you allow Satan to influence your life, he doesn't want a roommate. That's his heart. That's his life. And when you allow sin to enter your life, when you allow it to go unchecked, the enemy begins to have influence. He doesn't want a roommate. Sanctification is the process where God fills us with himself, fills us with his Holy Spirit, and with Christ, and puts it to death, the sin in us, through the power of Christ's victory over sin. See, what didn't happen in Judas's life is the process of sanctification. What needs to happen in our lives is the process of sanctification. That's where Jesus grabs a piece of sandpaper, and he just a little off the top. See, the door in my house isn't dramatically too large. You wouldn't even notice it if you weren't trying to shut it completely. Just needs a little bit off the top. That's the process of sanctification. Sometimes God has to get the automatic sander, though. We need a little extra. Sometimes he goes straight for the saw. How many of us can testify that sometimes God goes straight for the saw in our lives? Amen. You are good, Lord. Sin will always be present in our lives. But the key comes on whether or not we confront and check the sin in our lives or allow it to flourish freely. Sometimes Jesus takes the electric sander when he needs more work. Sometimes it's the saw. But that process is necessary. Today we celebrate communion. And that's the event that's happening here in this passage of Scripture. And At this moment, we are reminded of God's grace. The grace that he extends to us every single day. While we're in this world, we're always at risk to be under Satan's influence. But it's the grace of God that gives us power to say no to sin and yes to God. We can say no to the things that want to claim in our lives and want to cause a wedge between us and our Savior, all because of the work of the cross. See, intimacy is our goal. We want to be as close to Jesus as possible. I want to know him. I want to be near him. And sin is a wedge between that. Unchecked sin is a stunt. It stops the growth of sanctification. It puts a wedge between us and our Savior. Judas's life teaches us that even as we walk with Christ, we can become calloused and allow sin to go unchecked in our lives. You can come here every week. You can be part of a small group, and it can become a callous. You lose sensitivity to it. It's a warning to us as Christ followers to not let sin reign freely in our lives. As we partake in communion today, let us examine ourselves. Examine our hearts so that God, through his grace and his mercy, can reveal to us anything that we're allowing to go unchecked. So that we can walk in victory with intimacy with Christ. If there's sin in your life, surrender it to Christ. I know it's a painful process, right? It doesn't feel good. But it's necessary. You need to face your sin head on. You need to surrender it to Jesus, knowing that the only one powerful enough to break the curse of sin in your life is Jesus. Are you in need of Christ's carpentry in your life? Do you need him to take a little bit off the top today? I know I do. As we go into communion today, let's take some time to examine ourselves. I think of the psalmist when he said, "Lord, search me, know me. If there's anything that is detestable in your sight, Lord, reveal it to me." Let's take some time today as we go into communion to examine our hearts, to ask the Lord to search us, to know us, and to maybe just take a little off the top. Maybe it's small, maybe it's something insignificant that you wouldn't notice unless you walked right into it. Maybe it's a giant boulder and you have to walk around it every time you go through the room. Will you take time today to examine yourself and get rid of any of the wedges in your doors? Let's pray. Father, as we come today to your table, we are reminded of your grace. Father, as we come, we are convicted by your mercy, Lord. Father, will you reveal to us the things that are dishonorable to you, the things that hurt your heart? Will you show us, Father, where we need to be trimmed, where we need your work in our lives? And Father, when you do reveal it to us, Father, would you be gracious and give us the ability to let it go? Lord, will we not just see it and move on calloused, but will we be moved by your mercy, by who you are? Do a work in us today, we pray. Amen.
I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. Come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarchchurch.com or simply download the Northmar Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.